Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich savings plan.
Because a skyscraper in Moscow has been attacked by a drone for the second time in 2 days. It follows three drone attacks in the Ukrainian city of Kharkiv, while a doctor was killed and a nurse was wounded in Russian shelling of a hospital in Ukraine's southern city of Kherson earlier today. For more, I'm joined by BBC's Ukraine correspondent James Waterhouse. James, good evening to you, and thank you very much indeed for being with us again. It's been a day of blame and counter-blame, hasn't it?
It really has. I think, you know, the glassy buildings of Moscow's financial district, you know, once upon a time used to be a place that felt very far away from Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And I think the last 2 days have brought this conflict to the doorstep of thousands of Russians, the majority of whom choose to believe that the Kremlin's war is fair and just. And I think there will be some Western allies of Ukraine privately very nervous at what is happening, because they've long been wary of the war spilling outside Ukraine's borders. Mm-hmm. And yet here we are with apparent drone strikes in Moscow. We don't know who is behind it definitively, but there have been more of 100 of attacks like this since the start of the year. Ukraine has been responsible for some, but it's really murky in terms of who we can pin this on.
We don't know who's behind it, but some sources in Kyiv are saying expect more drone attacks, Moscow.
Yeah, and they're pushing the boundaries of a denial, shall we say, because while they don't claim responsibility, some of the language has been extremely pointed coming out of Kyiv. The most threatening that I can remember, where they warn of more attacks like this as a result, in its words, of Russia's own actions. And clearly these are unmanned drones flying in. And, you know, typically the targets are fuel infrastructure, military sites. But I think we're not going to suddenly see the Ukrainian army cross the border. This is about psychological pressure, which is undeniable, because scenes like this make it that bit more difficult for Vladimir Putin to justify his invasion. He is increasing the conscription age. He's increasing the fines people face if they resist being mobilized. So there is a lot at play here. There's an outside chance this could be Russia's doing to justify its mobilization.
But what has Vladimir Putin or the Kremlin been saying about these drone attacks then? What has he told Moscovites?
Well, what we've heard from his spokesman, Dmitry Peskov, he's described it as being an act of desperation, a terrorist act by Ukraine, which I think is what you would publicly expect. And you wonder what the response will be. Just in Kyiv this afternoon, there have been four different sirens that have gone off because of the direct threat of ballistic missiles. But I've got to make the point that here we are talking about, yes, significant drone attacks inside Russia. But Ukraine, you know, drones are landing on both sides of the border. The only difference being in Ukraine, dozens of civilians die every day. These are attacks seemingly out of the blue in the middle of Moscow, but it shows the psychological impact they have.
Mm-hmm. And in one sense, though, when you talk about the drone attacks in Moscow, it's very difficult to reconcile these attacks with what President Zelensky said some weeks ago about attacks on Russian soil. He said, we don't do that. He said, we're using every bullet, every resource to defend our own territory.
It is, because we've also got to remind ourselves that part of the conditions of Western weapons that the likes of the US, the UK provide, these long-range missiles, these tanks from Germany, and the like, a condition of those being supplied is that they are not used beyond Ukraine's borders. And yet, and you have that language from President Zelensky, and here we have Zelensky's administration almost relishing in the scenes we're seeing across the border, where we've had pro-Ukrainian Russians make incursions into Rostov, where we've seen a failed armed mutiny in June in Russia. And there is an undeniable destabilization going on inside Russia. It is minimal, but there are cracks where Vladimir Putin's outright power might be diminished in some way. And I think it's in terms of propaganda, it's too irresistible for Kyiv to jump on. Mm.
It's very difficult to gauge that, isn't it? How destabilizing it is or will be for Vladimir Putin. We had the mutiny that wasn't a mutiny, a rebellion by Wagner and Prigozhin. And apparently Prigozhin is back in Russia.
It's really hard to work out. Here we have a country where if you utter the words invasion or if you condemn the war or the Kremlin in any way, you can be jailed for a quarter of a century. And then here we have Yevgeny Prigozhin, Vladimir Putin's former chef, turned oligarch, in charge of the mercenary group that is part state, part private, doing the bulk of Russia's fighting in the east, suddenly turning around and heading towards Moscow to topple Vladimir Putin himself. He is pardoned within the space of a day, and he's now popping up in St. Petersburg in a neighbouring mansion to Vladimir Putin, meeting African delegates, seemingly living a free life. It is strange. It is bizarre. I think it wasn't meant to be him to topple Vladimir Putin, but you wonder what is going on inside the walls of the Kremlin.
Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to understand how the international community or the West will react here if these are indeed drones from Kyiv, from Ukraine, hitting Moscow. Will they support the effort? Will they allow or endorse Ukraine's attempt to increase attacks? Especially when Ukraine is saying expect more Moscow, you have people like Khodorkovsky, who was a billionaire close to Vladimir Putin, now very much on the wrong side of Vladimir Putin, but saying now is the time. Now is the time to try and put more pressure on to get rid of.
You wonder if it would sweeten the deal if you are, say, Antony Blinken of the US or President Biden himself, where privately you're thinking, you know, stop doing this, Kyiv, stop using these missiles inside Russia. There were reports that Ukraine had been killing too many Russian generals, and the US at that point in time last year were worried about the destabilization that would cause and the threat of Russian escalation. You wonder how much Western allies would be appeased if they did see the Kremlin, Vladimir Putin himself, wobble in any way. You would expect the West to publicly jump on that and highlight the plight of a country which is waging such a sustained campaign of aggression. But if that doesn't happen, you would imagine in private, I don't think we'll hear about it officially, you would imagine Ukraine might be restrained in some way, because the West, NATO, has long shown that when you are talking about a country with more than 2,000 nuclear warheads, if, say, Vladimir Putin was toppled tomorrow, it would be the type of character who would be similar, if not worse than Vladimir Putin, in charge of that arsenal.
Yeah, which is a frightening thought. Look, we'll leave it there for the moment. Thank you very much indeed for the update on that. James Waterhouse, BBC's Ukraine correspondent.